Who knew a couple of years ago when I was doing stand-up that one of the guys that I would do stand-up with, Brian Regan, would become Brian Regan? Who
Brian knew?
Who Brian knew?
I didn't know either, man.
Even you didn't know.
I'm more confused than you are.
How are you, Brian?
I'm doing great.
Brian, I heard you a little while ago. You were on Steve Cochran's show, and for people listening who don't know this, they passed state law about 6 weeks ago that Brian must appear on every show on the radio. That's a law.
Yeah, it's state mandated.
Yep, I'm proud to be a part of it. I'll be honest with you.
Well, I appreciate you guys having me on. Thank you
very
much.
Absolutely. What didn't Steve cover that we should 10 minutes ago?
I don't know. I think we covered quite a bit in our short conversation over there, and but that the weather forecast. I'm thinking of canceling my Chicago show. What's going on there?
It's going to be nice indoors by the weekend, too. It's supposed to be like in the 60s by Saturday, so
okay.
It'll be fine. And Chicago Theater, Brian, is indoor. I don't know if they told you this, but it's enclosed.
Oh, it's indoors.
Yeah, it's indoors now.
All right. Well, then I'll be on my way. I grew up in Miami, Florida.
Yeah.
And I went to college in Ohio, and I had never experienced snow until I went to college. And I didn't realize that there was like a transitional period between hot and cold. Like all I brought with me to Heidelberg were like T-shirts and short sleeve shirts.
Yeah.
And I had like an Alaska pipeline jacket with the fur around the head.
Oh, the survival jacket. I think that's what they used to call them.
Yeah, exactly. That was it. I had nothing in between. And so, you know, my fellow classmates and teachers would see me with a T-shirt one day, and then the next day was the Alaska survival jacket. You know, there is a gray area, Brian. There's like you could wear a long sleeve shirt in between or a parka or something, you know.
There's middle ground. Yeah, there's always middle ground. Now, here in Chicago, Brian, I don't know if you realize this, but we've had weeks recently where it's been in the 70s and snowed in the same week.
Wow.
Yeah.
We had one day, honest to God, it was in the 70s on a Saturday afternoon, and a few hours later, it dropped 40 degrees.
Yeah.
Man, oh, man.
That's where a hoodie comes in, because it kind of is versatile.
Well, I'll bring everything I have.
All right, good.
Bring everything I have.
Brian, I'll never forget, there was a week that I worked with you in Kalamazoo, Michigan, at Zany's in Kalamazoo, Michigan, and they were so cheap at the club that they made you and I bunk together in the same hotel room, and you slept almost the entire weekend. Do you remember that?
Well, I'm that makes sense, you know, that I would have slept the entire time.
You were tired.
Yes, I was, and still do. That's what's so ironic about this right now. I mean, one of the reasons I got into comedy was because I knew I wouldn't have to wake up early.
Of course.
You know?
Yeah.
I swear, I was in college, and a guy performed at our school, and his show started at 8 p.m., and I remember thinking, this I can handle. I can handle 8 p.m. I can't handle these 8 a.m., you know, physics classes. And then, you know, I get to the point where, like, you know, I'm successful enough where I have to wake up early to do radio. So everything backfired. my master plan backfired.
Well, I'm not a morning person either, but I got up around 9:30 and you were still asleep. And I said, do you want to run and get breakfast? And you said, no, just give me a little more time. I just need a little more sleep. Went and had breakfast, did some shopping, came back. You were still asleep. I go, how about lunch? You go, you know, I'm not quite ready for lunch. I was afraid you had mono. I was sure that I was working with you during a week with mono.
Wow, that's exactly right. That I remember being in a condo with a comedian one time, and I woke up, you know, 3 in the afternoon, and there was a place down the road that sold meatball parmesan sandwiches.
Mm.
So I went down there, I got a meatball parmesan sandwich, I go back to the condo, and I'm sitting on the living room, you know, and I'm eating my meatball parmesan sandwich, and he was like a health guy. He was on the floor doing these weird yoga stretches while I'm eating a meatball sandwich, and I had to sneeze, and I didn't want to sneeze in my sandwich, so I turned, and I sneezed, and I threw my back out.
Wow.
And I think, what a dichotomy between his life and mine.
Right. Right. You know, I think you're eligible for workman's comp based on what you just told us.
Yes, exactly. I should have been paid to not have to do a show.
Was it common that you guys would share a room?
No, hardly ever. But that particular week, they said, it looks like you guys will get along with throwing the same hotel room. We did get along because Brian just slept the whole weekend.
Yes. It was unusual for two comedians to have to be in the same room.
Right.
But, you know, sometimes they would do that. That was rare. When that happened, you quickly said, I want to be so successful that I get my own hotel room.
Right.
I want to get to that level.
Brian
But
Free.
They would also put us in these comedy condos.
Oh, the worst.
That was like an apartment.
Yeah.
That, you know, they would put whatever comedians were in town that week into that apartment. And you would, you'd get there. It's like, okay, it's my turn and two other comedians. You'd fight over who gets what bedroom.
Yep.
And you'd open the refrigerator and see like seven jars of mayonnaise in there.
Awful.
No one would ever use anyone else's mustard or ketchup or mayonnaise. Everybody got their own.
Yeah.
It was very strange.
Yep. Terrible. Terrible. Brian, a couple of months ago, they put out this list. Rolling Stone did the list of the top 50 comedians of all time. And not only was I upset that you weren't on the list, and Wendy and I talked about it here on the show. Of
they
some
missed
names.
A bunch.
They missed some major names. Some classics, guys like Billy Crystal and
Richard Lewis,
Jay Leno. But some guys like yourself that belong on that list. Did you ever see the list? Do you know anything about this?
I didn't know that list came out, but I just know from experience that I often don't get included in things like that, and I just learned to shrug it off. You know,
is that why you sleep so much, Brian?
Yes, because I don't want to read articles like that and start feeling bad. I sleep through all of that bad press.
Oh.
That's the way to, you know, get over things. I'm with you on the sleeping. Bill said he would wake you up to go get breakfast. I'm one of those people, I'd rather sleep than eat.
Yeah.
And now with this rain, it's like perfect nap weather. Will you nap when you're in town?
I will. I sleep in, and then I get up, and I'll eat something very unhealthy.
Mm-hmm.
And then I will take a nap before my show.
Brian, there was another list Rolling Stone put out, the 50 top comedians who sleep a lot, and you were number eight.
Number eight.
Yeah.
Okay, now we're talking.
John Biner edged you out by one
John
position.
John Biner.
Now, I think I should be in the top two, but I'll accept eight.
Eight's not bad. Eight's not bad. So how many years has this been now for you in stand-up? You've been doing this about 30 or so years, right?
I started right out of college, and went right at it. There was a comedy club that opened near where I grew up. I grew up in Miami, Florida. There was a comedy club that opened in Fort Lauderdale. And it was perfect for me because I was like, wow, I can go there and try to audition. I passed my audition after a few tries, and they gave me a job working there in the kitchen, like cooking burgers. And
yeah.
I would also seat people, and they would let me go on for a few minutes each night. And when they let me open the show, sometimes I was the cook. I'd be in the back, and the waitress would come back and go, you know, I need two burgers or whatever. I put the burgers on, but I knew that if I was the first comedian, I would put the burners down really low. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you'd have time to.
Yeah, and I would get on stage, and I was not only the comedian, I was the people in the audience's cook. They didn't even know it. And I could hear people while I was on stage asking their waitress where their burger was. And they had no idea that the cook is on stage in front of them. You know, you're not getting your burger until you laugh at this guy.
You know, you could have done it as such where you brought out a small grill on stage with you and just cooked up burgers while you were doing the stand-up.
I wasn't that smart. I should have done that. Yeah, I should have had a grill up there.
You know, I don't know if you'll remember this, but I asked you once after having worked with you a couple times, because you were always good, but at some point you went from good to really, really, really good. And I said, what are you doing differently? And you said, I learned that instead of telling jokes, act everything out. Everything becomes a scene. And that's true. You started doing that, and everything took off for you.
Oh, well, I mean, I don't remember having the eureka moment, but apparently I had it. And enough to explain it to you, but I wish I would have remembered that or known that before that. But yeah, to me, the bits, one of the first times I sat down and actually tried to script out my act, you know, mm-hmm. I thought, hey, maybe I should put some work into this.
Mm-hmm.
And I was scripting it out, and I realized these are all scenes. They're like vignettes, you know. It was always me and another character. It was me and the eye doctor, or me and a flight attendant, or me and a salesman.
Yeah.
Or it was me and an inanimate object. It was me and an ironing board, or me and a refrigerator. And I thought, these are little moments, and the only way they're going to work is if I put on my actor's hat and play it out. So yeah, that's sort of the deal.
Boy, it's paid off beautifully. You're just doing so well. I'm so happy for you. So this Friday night, it's the Chicago Theater. It's a big venue. Have you been there before, Brian? You've done the Chicago Theater before, right?
Yeah, I've done it a couple times before, and it's very historic, and you know, it's a thrill to perform in places like that.
Well, in this city, I can't think of a place that says, I'm doing it right, than the Chicago Theater. If you're doing stand-up there, you've nailed it, so congrats. And there's some tickets still available, not a lot, but go to the chicagotheater.com if you want to see one of the premier comics of all time, Brian Regan, working there. Brian, great to hear from you, and continued success.
Thank you both very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Brian.
Take care.
All right, you too.
That's Brian Regan. I'm not kidding when I say this. You need to see him. He is so funny and so good at what he does. I can't say enough good things about him.
Well, you mentioned the tickets, and we actually have a pair to give away. I was going to offer them to Brian first.
Yeah.
But I guess he doesn't need them.
Dibs on him.
So do we want to give some away right now?
Yeah.
All right, here's what we have. A pair of tickets to see Brian Regan, Chicago Theater. As we mentioned, it's happening this Friday, April 7th. April 7th already.
Yeah.
God, I was Christmas shopping just a week ago, it seems.
I'm almost done. Got two more people to buy for.
Great seats are still available, as Bill mentioned, and they're on sale now. You can go to Ticketmaster or the Chicago Theater box office, or you can call us right now, 312-981-7200. What number caller do you want?
Let's do caller 10. 312-981-7200. Be caller 10. See Brian Regan back after this. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.